Amen. What a blessing tonight. Well, it's always a blessing to have a service in the middle of the week. Amen. After Sunday, you're fired up, pumped up. Hopefully, you've received what God had for you to strengthen you to go out. By Wednesday, I'm telling you, starting to run a little bit low on that spiritual energy. Amen. And that's why we have a midweek service, to be able to come back in and encourage one another to continue to live for the Lord and to have the testimony God wants you to have. And what a blessing it is. Those that have the opportunity, that God's opened the door for you to be here Wednesday night, take advantage of every opportunity to draw closer to the Lord. And we need every opportunity. We need all that God has for us. Well, Genesis chapter 47. Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying on the life of Joseph. And what a tremendous study it's been, and I didn't think it'd get any better after the study we went through the life of Paul. And I tell you, now I'm getting to the end of this study, I'm thinking this might even been a little bit better study. I don't know. I think every study you're in seems to be exactly what you need, so it's always the best at the time. But this study in the life of Joseph has been so practical. And Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament. We see so many practical Christian principles in the life of Joseph. And it's more than just a historical story. We know it reveals history and it's a true story. But God's preserved it for us so we might learn biblical principles that are very applicable to our lives today. And I trust that you've been helped by as we're going through that. The theme of the life of Joseph is God is able to work all things out for good. Now, he tells his brothers that. You meant it for evil. God worked it out for good. And then we have that in how we've seen this all along. When we learn that biblical principle, we have a New Testament statement. And Romans 8:28. Amen? And so it's just a blessing how all of it's worked together. But God is able to work all things out for good. We make the right decisions in the time of the trials. We make the right decisions no matter what's taking place. God can honor that. God will bless that, and it can work out for good. And that's what we need to do. Last week, we found that Jacob, a shepherd, blesses Pharaoh, an emperor. That's not going to take place outside of God. What emperor, especially the Egyptians, looked at the shepherds as an abomination to even eat dinner with. They didn't have anything to do with them. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. And yet as they come to Egypt, as God works it out and Pharaoh invites them to come because of Joseph's testimony to Egypt, and now we find that Jacob, which is Israel, whom God is going to use to establish the 12 tribes of Israel, a shepherd comes before the presence of Pharaoh. His son Joseph introduces him, and Pharaoh desires the blessings of Jacob upon his life. God working through Joseph, Pharaoh believed Jacob to be a great man of God, because he was part of the patriarchs, and he knew the God of Joseph. And Pharaoh had already seen how the God of Joseph was able to work and how he had put him in a position because of his God. And now we find, with all that, God working through Joseph, Jacob, a shepherd, blesses Pharaoh, an emperor. And God can do all things. Praise the Lord for that. Well, we move on to the next event in the life of Joseph. It's found in chapter 47, verses 11, and we're going to read down to verse 26. So if you stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Starting in verse 11, the Bible says, "Then Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, and the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren, and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, 'Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth.' And Joseph said, 'Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my Lord, how that our money is spent. My Lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord, but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore we shall die before thine eyes, both we and our land. Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field because of the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion with Pharaoh, gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones." And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again tonight, we love you, thank you for, Lord, just the blessings that we've already received tonight, for the opportunity to be here, everyone that took advantage of the opportunity to be in church tonight. I pray that you'd bless them. And God, as now as we get into the study of this passage of Scripture, I pray that you'd give us all the insight that we have need of in order to receive the message that you have for us this evening. Work in our midst, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, Joseph, after being blessed, is in a position to bless others. Now, several weeks ago, we studied in chapter 41 when Joseph realized what God was doing in his life, and we preached on that, blessed to be a blessing, and use what he had learned. Whatever trial you go through, whatever happens in your life, can I tell you that God has a purpose, and the purpose for that is to be using that experience, using that whatever it is that God taught you through that, to be a blessing to others. And it's a blessing to know that, to understand that no matter what you go through as a child of God, God has to allow it. If he doesn't bring it into your life, he has to allow it. If he does, then there's something he wants you to learn. And whatever it is that God is teaching us, we are to use to be a blessing to others. And so Joseph, we've already seen that, that Joseph was blessed to be a blessing. And but tonight goes along, that very same principle we're going to look at here tonight goes along with that very same thing that we taught, bless, use what we have learned in chapter 41. But God's blessings will at some point position us to be able to bless others. Now mark it down. No matter how you come to the Lord and whatever is going on in your life, if you look to serve God, and you want the blessings of God, and you do what God would have you do, God is going to position you at some point to be a blessing. To use the blessings of God to be able to bless others. The question is, when we get to that position, how do I distribute it? That's a juggling act, amen? Time, talents, finances. God blessed me with time, and now I've got the time that God's opened up to me, and how am I to use that time? Especially if you're in a position that you can benefit others by your presence, your time, whatever it might be, can I tell you, you're going to be in a demand. People are going to want your time. If you have talents, can I tell you that people are going to want you to bless them with your talents? You're going to be pulled from all different directions. If you're blessed with finances, can I tell you there's always somebody with a handout? Especially if they know you have money. Whether it's your children, your family, your friends, or whoever it might be, God has blessed us, and as He has blessed us, He puts us in a position to where we're able to bless others. But the question remains is, how do I distribute it? And I think we have a biblical principle here in the life of Joseph. Joseph had spent much time with his family. We've been studying what Joseph had done, and of course he is set up as the right hand to Pharaoh over Egypt and Canaan, as the lands were going to have a 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of drought and famine. And Joseph set it up, and he was working very hard at it. And then when the years of famine came, his brothers came, and now he saw his brothers, and his heart melts within him, and he wants his family back. He wants to see his father. He wants to see his youngest brother, and all the things that worked on. And he had to look to God. God orchestrated through Joseph to reconcile this dysfunctional family at that time. His father, Jacob, had been fed a lie 22 years prior, and for those 22 years, nothing had been accomplished. Jacob had not gone forward with what God had for his life. And he was living, believing a lie of the devil, and he was living in oppression. And it affected, no doubt, his family, everything that was taking place there for 22 years because he had believed his sons and his sons had lied to him. And so he accepted the lies of the devil. He had raised Joseph to think that God had a special purpose for Joseph's life. He had raised Joseph to believe that he was going to be part of the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. And he was Jacob's youngest son, and he was pouring things into Joseph. And then he hears that Joseph is dead. Now he, in his own heart and mind, has to question what he taught Joseph. Was it really true? The way I raised my children, is it really true that there is a God? The way that I have raised my children to trust in the Lord and realize that God works all things out together for good and all these different things. And now Joseph, because he had believed the lie and Satan had him oppressed, he was questioning it even himself. Yet he didn't realize that God was very much still at work in Joseph's life, preparing Joseph for the ultimate blessing of Israel, to save Israel, and to put together this dysfunctional family into a functional family that God could work through. So all this is going on. All this is going on, the life of Joseph, and Joseph had spent much time with his family, working with them, finally brought them in. He had revealed himself to them. Then he wanted to see his dad. He spent a lot of time with his dad. He actually now prepares Pharaoh to meet Jacob. And Jacob comes in and all that's gone on there. Pharaoh had given Joseph a position of responsibility. And Joseph had spent a lot of time with family. But Joseph had a testimony in Egypt. Joseph had a job. So now it's time for Joseph to get back to the work. You see, for the last several events in the life of Joseph, it's been all about Joseph's family. But at the same time, God wanted it, and that was first priority. That's why God had him there. But God had also given him a position over Egypt. And as a steward, not only to God, but as a steward to Pharaoh. And as a steward to Pharaoh, he had a job to do. And this was at a very critical point in the land of Egypt. There was a few years into the famine. And no one understood what needed to be done like Joseph. And they knew that. That's why they gave Joseph this position. That's why, if you will, he hired him to do this part, because he knew that he could do this and they needed it to be done. So now, Joseph has this talent. Joseph has this ability. Joseph has his finances. How is he going to work it out? He would prefer giving all of his time to his family. I'm sure he would have loved to have just stayed home every day. Spent time with the family and the children and all, getting to know all the... He's been away for 22 years. I'm sure that he, in meeting his brothers, then he had to bring them in. He had to meet all their wives and all their children and 22 years absence. Had a lot to catch up on. But he has to get back to the work in Egypt. And that's where the Bible takes us. It takes us back to his work in Egypt. Because Joseph had a testimony in Egypt. A Christian testimony. That's why he prospered in the land. That was why he was able to bring his family to Egypt. That's why Pharaoh actually desired Jacob's blessings, because of the testimony of Joseph. Now, with that said, and understanding where we're, what we're looking at here, Joseph was first and foremost God's servant. But he knew that he was positioned by God to do a work for Pharaoh. Wherever you work, you have to realize that God is working through that employer to provide for you and your family. Wherever you work and whatever occupation you're in, can I tell you, you have to realize God has given you a talent. God has given you ability. God has worked it out to open that door to that particular career or that job. And you first of all have a testimony of a Christian worker, but then you have to be a good steward, not only of God's, but a steward of that employment, to have a good testimony. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his right first. Nothing else comes before God. Matter of fact, for the Christian, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you got to get a hold of that. Before you're a husband, you're a servant of God. Before you're a wife, you're a servant of God. Before you're a parent, you're a servant of God. Before you're an employee, you are a servant of God's. In 1 Corinthians, if you've been saved, this is what the Bible says. This is exactly what we need to understand. Before we do anything else, seek first the kingdom of God. And it goes hand in hand with this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So it's not what you want, first of all. Priority is not how you feel. Priority is not your desire. Priority is God's will. Amen? You might not always feel like being the wife to that husband. You might not always feel like being the parent to that child. But it's the will of God. Amen. My wife never, I get this in every now and then. She never has liked it. I tell her, I love you first of all because God commands me to. She didn't like that. But it's true. When she's mean to me, I might not love her if it was based on my feelings. That's right. I might get the pouchy lip and say, well, you want to treat me that way? I don't love you. Now, the truth of it is, she's never mean to me. Amen. I got to go home with her tonight. She's never mean to me. But if I'm serving God, first of all, I've got to look to God's will. God's will. So, not based on self, and it's not based on my employee. It's based on, first of all, I'm God's child. I'm His servant. I was bought with a price. I'm not my own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Joseph was first God's servant. But he was positioned by God to work for Pharaoh. Now, the first thing we find here as Joseph gets back to work, before this, we find that Joseph was able to totally take care of his family. Now, look right there, if you will, verse 11. or verse 12 and verse 1 says, and Joseph nourished, took care of them, met their needs. A husband needs to do that to his wife. Parents need to do that for their children. Nurturing them. Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Israel was in the best land in Egypt. That was Pharaoh's, his own land that he had his own cattle on. And Pharaoh turns this over to Israel. They had no debt in the land. Did you notice that? If Joseph gave the bread, the food, to his family. The rest of Egypt had to come and they had to pay for it. And we're going to see how that they were indebted, all of Egypt, but Israel, Joseph's family, Joseph provided for. They kept their cattle. They kept whatever finances they had. They did not become servants to Pharaoh. Why? Joseph took care of them. What a blessing. As a father, what a blessing to know that God has blessed you to be a blessing to your family. Every loving father wants to take care of his family. Every loving husband wants to take care of his wife. Tremendous blessing. I've heard, I think it was jokingly, but I've heard a couple say before, I'm raising my children to one day take care of me. And that's kind of funny, but actually when you look around, that happens quite often. That's even more incentive to raise them for God so that they will honor you as God commands them to honor you without any age limit. Amen? Joseph was able to take care of his family, the entire family. That had to be a blessing to Joseph. Knowing what he knew and how God had worked in his life, and Pharaoh, his employer, enabled him to do that as well. So he's done that. Make sure his family's settled. He makes sure that everyone's taken care of. Back to work. Had a job to do. Had a job to do. Verse 14 to 26 reveals the job that he had to do in Israel, in Egypt. He was a steward of God's and then a steward of Pharaoh's. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you're a steward, then God says you're to be found faithful. Steward of God's, whatever God has given to you, you're a steward of whatever, because you're not your own. Whatever God's blessed you with, it's God's. I've got to make sure that I use it as God wants me to use it. Whether it be my finances, whether it be my time, whether it be my talents, God gives me whatever I have. I have to make sure that I'm a good steward. And whatever my employer gives me, basically if you work for an employee, then you are a steward of that employee. Or that employer. You're an employee of that employer. And you're to be a good steward. Be faithful. So now Joseph's trying to juggle it out. So I got a family here. I got to take care of them. I know that they're in need. I'm going to do that. God, thank you, God. Goes back. Now I've got an employer I got to please. Get back to work. Verse 14, we find that Joseph sold them bread until all the people's money was gone. All the bread was there. He's the only one that had it at this point. In Egypt and Canaan, only one. And so they all came to him. And while they had money, there was a price on it. They just came, they just paid the price. Thinking, well, we got enough money to last a year or so. But the famine was for 7 years. after their monies ran out, they came back to Joseph. In verse 16, and Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. Now all this time, he is providing for his family. I don't know how that went over with the Egyptians. When they look around, they saw all the his family keeping their cattle, keeping their finances, and he was just giving them bread. There had to be some tension. There had to be some murmuring among the Egyptians. Joseph required all their cattle. Then after they thought, well, okay, we don't have the expense of the cattle now, and all we have to do is just keep our land and hold on, and we'll plant some more, buy some more cattle once this get through this time. Hopefully this is going to end this year. It didn't end that year. They come back to Joseph. Verse 19. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land, by us, and our land for bread? By us and our land for bread. So Joseph required all their land, and then for them to be Pharaoh's servants. Was Joseph cruel? Think, wow, look how nice of a man he was at home and providing for his family and just giving all of them their own food and taking care of them. And yet he goes back and now he's dealing with the Egyptians and the Egyptians not... He seems like a cruel man. He's making them actually pay for the bread until all their money was gone. And then not only did he make them pay for the bread, then he has to say, well, you got to give me all your cattle. And then he gets to the place where takes their land, makes them servants. Was he wrong? It was not Joseph's. He's a steward. As a steward, you first of all, as a Christian steward, you answer to God and then you answer to your employer. He was a steward. During the first 7 years of plenty, Joseph paid them for the seed. Most of the seed, the bread that he gives back, he bought from them. Stop. That's what happened. He had them, they were growing all this seed, they were growing all their crops in a time of plenty. And he was just buying it from them. He paid them what it was worth. They saw him storing it up. They knew that he had given the vision of what was going to take place. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Now, for me, I don't understand it. If they really believed that, they could have stored it up themselves. Now they understand. They should have and they could have. They didn't. Some people live that way. I don't understand that. Whatever comes in, you got to spend it or it's going to burn a hole in my pocket. Never thinking about next month. Never thinking about maybe there's going to be a famine in the land. You need to listen here. Stop messing around. Listen to what I'm saying. Many times that's what happens. They don't listen. They don't listen to God as we even preach on Sunday. They heard, but they didn't understand. They didn't know what God said. They heard the message and they heard this is going on. And what happened is they went ahead and spent the money anyway. They didn't put back for the lean years. Didn't put it back. Joseph, I believe, had enough wisdom to talk with them about that very thing. As we read here, they're asking Joseph to make them servants. They're asking Joseph, give us food for our cattle. Praise the Lord, the wisdom that God gives in having to do some difficult things. Having to make some difficult decisions. Joseph was not cruel and he wasn't wrong. They realized they were wrong because how Joseph presented it to them. They realized that he was just doing his job because he had to be a faithful steward to Pharaoh. It belonged to Pharaoh. No doubt Joseph wisely explained this to the people in a way that they could not justly disagree. Now, I'm sure there's always people who's going to disagree with how you handle things, but if you're doing it the way the Bible says to do things and they know that, they cannot justly disagree. Children think it's cruel for you to spank them. But if you tell them, it's what God tells me to do. Amen? That's right. Can't justly disagree with that. They believe God. So, they didn't disagree. Verse 15, they said, and verse 15, the last verse 15, they said, and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth? They said, you're actually doing us a blessing, taking our cattle. Because if it wasn't for you, we'd die. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. The way Joseph presented it as doing his job and understanding this is what he had to do as a right hand of Pharaoh, as a steward of Pharaoh's, they were saying, without you, we'd die. What was Joseph thinking all this time? Can I tell you, I'm sure Joseph, no doubt, we studied. He had a tender heart. He would have loved to have been able to say, just come and get it. No, I don't want your land. No, I don't want your cattle. Just go ahead. They wouldn't have appreciated it. They would have just run through that like they did their own. And then there would still be a famine and they would still be in trouble without anything left. So what was Joseph thinking? And this is the application. You see the story. This is what's taking place. The application. The one thing that we learn about Joseph's life and everything that happened to him, he acknowledged God. And he was thankful for God's presence. Can I tell you that's the first thing that we all need to be mindful of? Acknowledging God. Realize, God, without you, I'd have nothing. Without you, I wouldn't even be able to breathe. Without you, I couldn't have the position I have. Without you, I couldn't accomplish anything. God, thank you for your love for me. Through it all, he never failed to acknowledge God, and by acknowledging God, he would give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it tells us this is the will of God. In everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God. Not only did Joseph live by that principle himself, but his influence was that very same principle that he tried to get across to everyone. It's God who's blessed. It's God who has given me wisdom to do what we've been able to do. It's only God that's been given us this insight to store this up so that you have food to eat. Acknowledge God. So when we're trying to juggle things around and understand, first of all, I have to acknowledge God and give thanks for whatever God has given to me. And those that I want to help, I've got to make sure that they are looking to thank God. I need to make sure that if God has entrusted it to me, and I cannot bless those in whom God will not bless. And so if God is working it through me, I want to thank God for it, and then I want to use this to be a testimony of God's love and His care and His provisions to them. Be thankful. For God and your employer. Be aware of the peace of God. Because that's what matters. where you spend your time, how you juggle your finances, how you juggle your talents. If you're God's stewards, first of all, you want to thank Him and then you want to please Him. As I'm pleasing God, I can have the peace of God. Philippians, and you know the passage here. I want to read it to you, though. Philippians in chapter 4, we're getting ready to close here, so follow with me. We're coming to an end. This is biblical principles that will help you. Philippians in chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 says this. Let your moderation be known unto all men. What does it say? The Lord is at hand. Thank God. God's blessed me. That's the only reason I can be a blessing to you. God has worked in my life. God is the one that has given me this position. God is the one that has blessed me with my talents. God is the one that has blessed me with my finances. God is the one that has put me in this position to be able to be a help to somebody else or to have a position that somebody else wants my time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And as you're doing this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Know you're meeting His expectations. God has expectations of you as a Christian. And if you know that you're meeting those expectations that God has for you, you can have His peace. And God can work through you to be a blessing. Be aware of the peace of God. The third thing is be aware of your employer's expectations. In that order. But you have to be a good steward. You have to be a good employee. God's given you that position. Ephesians in chapter 6. Read this real quick here. Mark it down. Ephesians in chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. It's just Bible. Amen. It's biblical principles being revealed back. We see it in the life of Joseph, and now we can read it in the New Testament. Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." That's employer. "With fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ." Wait a minute. Supposed to fear them as unto Christ. Yep. Realizing that Christ has given you that position. He's working through that. And so as you honor Christ and you honor God and you are looking to be a good steward of God's, you have to also be a good steward of that whom God has positioned you under. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Make sure that you're keeping the expectations of your employer. If you can't keep their expectations, maybe you need to be looking for a different employment. And then know what you can and cannot do. And still be a faithful servant. There's certain things that I can and cannot do if I'm going to be a faithful servant of God's. If I'm going to be that steward of God's and what God has given me, I got to please Him. And if what I do is not pleasing to Him, I don't care if it's your child. I don't care if it's whoever it might be. If it's not someone that God wants you to bless, someone that God will not bless, you're just an extension of God. I can't do that. I got to know what I can and cannot do in order to be a good steward of God's. I want to please Him. Then I got to know what I can and cannot do and still be a good steward of my employer. Amen. That's it. God is the one that positions us, and if you are serving God, looking at Him, He will position you to be able to be a blessing. How do I juggle that? Those principles. I believe you find that Joseph did that. Be thankful. Be aware of the peace of God. Be aware of your employer's expectations. Know what you can and can't do. And still be able to be a faithful steward. do those things, I believe that God will work through your life. I believe God will give you wisdom to know how to juggle it, to know how to spend your time, to know how to spend your talent, and to know how to spend your finances. Praise the Lord for the life of Joseph.